Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." I want us to simply take some time this morning and process what we've just read. In the second verse of this 10th chapter, Paul identifies two attributes that are vital for anyone who is trying to please God. He talks about zeal and knowledge. And I want you to think with me about four categories of people, one of which will include us, and see where we fit in this spectrum regarding these two attributes, zeal and knowledge. Now, first of all, let's do some work with these two words. In verse 2, he says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God." And the word zeal in the Greek means heat. It is an emotion of passion. It is the same word that in the negative sense is translated jealousy. We know that zealous and jealous are very close even in English, and in Greek they are the same word. So zeal can be a good thing or it can be a negative thing if that passion is directed toward wrong things. It comes from a root word that means to boil over. So when we talk about zeal, we're talking about a passion or a care for something. We might say an enthusiasm, an excitement, a focus on something. We are boiling over. We are on fire for something. And in this case, he says they have a zeal for God, an enthusiasm for God and His things. And that is commendable. But he also says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And when we talk about knowledge this morning, we need to talk about what is it we mean. So let's read again this text. In verse 1 he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Paul's speaking about Jews here. He prays that they would be saved. They were not saved just because they were Jews. They needed to believe in and obey Jesus in order to be saved. So he says, "I pray that they'll be saved." For, verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They have an enthusiasm for God, but they don't have a knowledge that would direct that toward what God actually wants. They're zealous for God, but they don't know what to do with that. And they're going in just every direction they think would be right, but they're not going in God's direction. In verse 3 it says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." They're ignorant of God's righteousness. We're not talking about the fact that God is right. But what we're talking about is God's way of making men right. They are ignorant of God's plan to save man. They are ignorant of the plan that Jesus brought. They only know the way of being right that says, "I've got to do everything perfectly. I'm going to keep the law. That will make me righteous." And because of that, they are ignorant of Jesus. They're ignorant of the idea of forgiveness offered by His blood. They are ignorant of God's way of making men right. They're not ignorant in general. It's not that they're uneducated people. And in fact, these people were not even ignorant of God's law. They knew the law of God in the Old Testament, the law of Moses. But they did not have the knowledge and acceptance of the truth of Jesus that would channel their zeal properly. So when we talk about knowledge this morning, what we're talking about is a knowledge of God's way, a true knowledge of the true way of God that would lead us toward a true relationship with God. So let's think about these two qualities, zeal and knowledge. And I want us to think about four categories of people. Let's talk first about the fact that some have no zeal and no knowledge. They don't know, and they don't care. We can't seem to get them interested because they're not interested. And they may be passionate about many things. They may have a zeal for politics or a zeal for cars or a zeal for sports or a zeal for whatever vice it is that consumes them. It's not that they don't have any passion. It's just that their passion is not in any way toward God. They don't have a zeal for God. God is only a hindrance to the things that they really care about. And as a result, people like this will find things like church or Bible study or conversations about spiritual things, they'll find them boring. It's like a television. They want to flip the channel and find something more interesting that appeals to them better. They have no zeal and they have, in addition, no knowledge. People like this will find spiritual discussion and Bible teaching so tedious that they'll get angry with people who try to teach them. In fact, we're warned about people like this because in our efforts to teach and incite zeal by bringing knowledge, our efforts are going to bring us across people who are like this. They don't know and they don't care, and in fact, they can actively harm those who do know and do care. Jesus said this in Matthew 7 and verse 6. He said, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Matthew 7 and verse 6. These people are so disaffected that Jesus says, don't even bother with them. Don't cast your pearls before them, because they'll not only trample your pearls, they'll turn and hurt you too. People like this need great caution. They don't know, they don't care, and they don't want to know or care. Now, I hope we have no one here today who would fall into this category. But you know, it's true that sometimes people come to church in an assembly like this. They'll be here, not because they want to be here, not because they know what's right, but because someone cajoled them into coming. Or they made a commitment to someone. Maybe they're drug along by their parents. Or maybe they're just curious. What happens in a church building? But they don't know and they don't care. And if that's you, if you have no zeal and no knowledge, let me say one simple thing to you. You cannot be saved from your sins in such a state. Look again in verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Now, if these people had a zeal for God, but they still weren't saved, what hope do we have if we have no zeal and no knowledge of God? This state, no zeal and no knowledge, is ultimately deficient. It is a sad way to live, and it will leave us short of heaven. But then there are some who have zeal, but no knowledge. These are the Jews of our text. Verse 2 says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." And I want to take that for a moment and chew on it. Let's not be naive about the degree of zeal these people had for God. It was not a common degree of zeal. Often we say that people are sincere and well-meaning when we see that occasionally they'll pick up a Bible or occasionally they'll go to church. We're talking about, in this verse, people who went far beyond that in their zeal for God. Leave your marker here. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let's read John 16 and verse 2. Jesus is in the last days of his life. He's preparing his apostles for the time when he is going to be gone from them. And he warns them about what's going to happen as they are going to be persecuted. In John 16 and verse 2, we read, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known your Father, the Father, nor me." The time is coming when whoever kills you will think he offers God service. These Jews we're talking about were willing to kill Christians because they believed it was what God wanted. And please don't think they're out in left field on this. Moses' law prescribed death for certain offenses, and blasphemy was among those offenses. Now, I believe they had a very loose view of what blasphemy was. But it was blasphemy that they said was the reason Jesus deserved to die. It was blasphemy that they said was the reason Stephen deserved to die. And they didn't leave that death penalty to other people. Their hands were against them. Their hands picked up the rocks that stoned Stephen. And you ask, how could they do that, thinking it's what God wanted? They had a zeal for God, a tremendous passion, but not according to knowledge. Many of them thought they were sincerely giving God service. Even the Apostle Paul. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul lists this in sort of a resume fashion in Philippians 3 about what kind of Jew he was before he was approached by the Lord, before he chose to put his faith in Jesus instead of himself. In Philippians 3 and verse 4, he says, Philippians 3, 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Notice, Paul's degree of zeal, his level of zeal, in verse 6 is, persecuting the church. He didn't just love the law. He loved the law so much that he actively hurt those who broke it and who taught against it in the person of Jesus. So when Paul says they have a zeal for God, that's not an empty compliment. He's not flattering. They had a sincere belief that everything they were doing was for God, and they did it to the best of their ability. If it meant hurting people, if it meant doing things that were completely out of the ordinary, they were willing to do it. They had zeal, but they had no knowledge. Now, was that zeal alone enough? Did that zeal alone make them right with God? Well, of course not. Their zeal led to the wrongful death of Jesus and Stephen, the persecution of the Son of God, countless other martyrs who were faithful children of God. No, being zealous while working against God won't cut it. When Muslims are passionate and zealous for the Quran and its teachings, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to real knowledge. They may know their book, and they may believe it passionately, but they are ignorant of the righteousness of God. When our religious friends in denominational circles are zealous for their creeds and their leaders and their false teaching, they have a zeal for God, but it is not according to real knowledge. When they think that faith alone saves them, they may passionately believe that. They may do all they can to spread that message. They may be extremely zealous and completely sincere. But if they have no real knowledge of God, then it is not saving zeal. We need to acknowledge, the way Paul did, that many people in many places and many religions do have a sincere belief that they are right. And they have a passion and a determination to do what is right. And that is commendable. However, we also need to say that zeal without knowledge won't cut it before God. Go back with me to Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, but they would not be saved, even though they had great zeal." Brethren, this passage forever ends the argument that sincerity is all we need. The argument that says, but he's such a good person, he really believes that. If it's not according to knowledge, then zeal is not enough. So, some have zeal but no knowledge, and we need to do better than that. A third group has knowledge but no zeal. It's important to recognize that some fit in the other extreme. They know the truth, they believe the truth, but they have no enthusiasm for it. They have no passion for it. There is a word that the Bible uses to describe this. Let's find it in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Somehow, though these people have the information and they know it and they understand it, it triggers no enthusiasm in them. They don't seem to care. They don't want to share it with anyone. They're not passionate about it. It has no excitement for them, despite the fact that they know it. In Revelation 3 and verse 15, Jesus speaks to the church in Laodicea. He says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." The Bible word for people who have knowledge but no zeal is that they are lukewarm. And Jesus says it very plainly here. He says in verse 15, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot." They weren't cold against Jesus. That is, like the first people, having no zeal and no knowledge. They just don't care and they don't know and it doesn't bother them. They're not cold, but they're also not hot. They're not zealous for Jesus. They're not on fire for the Lord. They're just sort of sitting the fence. They know the truth. They don't feel pressure to obey it. They think they have what they need and they're content where they are. Brethren, I need to ask you, does this describe you? People like this feel no compulsion to do the work of the Lord. They are, so to speak, fat and happy spiritually. Like these in Laodicea, they say, "I have need of nothing." They rest on their laurels. Teaching, praying, singing, worshiping God, they're just not fascinating to them. Sure, we'll do them sometimes if we have to. But I want to give you a sense of how God feels about this. When we know we should be zealous, and we know all we need to know to do what God says, but for some reason, we just don't care. Look at verse 16 again of this text. He says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Jesus hates the lukewarm Christian. I don't mean He hates us as people. But when we demonstrate this attitude, we do something Jesus says we cannot have fellowship with Him and do. "I will vomit you out of my mouth." I fear that perhaps we have some in our audience today who know that what they should do, but they lack the enthusiasm that should accompany it. And because of that, we all need to take warning from this passage that if we have knowledge but no zeal, we will not please God. And let me remind you, just briefly, that having a knowledge of God's will and not wanting to do anything about it is really not such a spectacular state. We haven't done anything really impressive. Because James says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Let's say you have knowledge with no zeal. You just know what the demons already know. The demons have no zeal for God. Their zeal is for the devil. So are we much different from demons? Is that who we're aspiring to be? Someone who knows something that really it's not that difficult to discover, but is not willing to do anything about it? Are we no better than demons? Some have knowledge but no zeal. I pray and I hope if you fit into this category, you'll be thinking seriously about how to change that. And finally, some have zeal and knowledge. People who not only have a knowledge of God, but then are passionate about doing something with what they know. These people can be useful to the Lord. I want to show you an example of one in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. God can use these people because they are motivated. And God can use these people because they're going to help others see the truth of the gospel. They have knowledge and they have zeal. These people God can use and use effectively. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, it says, Acts 18:24, Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So, at this point, we have a man named Apollos who has great zeal, but he would fit in our second category. He had zeal, but he lacked knowledge. It says in verse 25 that he was fervent in spirit. That's a cousin of the word zeal. He is someone who is passionate in his spirit for the Lord, but he didn't have the full information. He only knew the baptism of John. So what happens to a man like this? Well, verse 26, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. When a man like this, who had a zeal for God but an incomplete knowledge, when he got the rest of the knowledge, do you see what happened? He accepted the rebuke, and that knowledge then became his knowledge, and he went out teaching it. And so it says there in verse 27, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. And verse 28, he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly. God can use people like this. If we want to be people God can use, we cannot be people who are useful to God if we don't know what His Word teaches. If we don't have a knowledge of His path. So we need knowledge. But if we don't have any zeal for God, God can't use us either. Because if we have knowledge with no zeal, we're not going to do what is required. Like Apollos did, we're not going to go preaching the gospel. We're not going to publicly refute the Jews. We're not going to do anything because we are spiritually lazy. We are lukewarm. We need zeal and knowledge. And when we have that, like Apollos, God can use us. People like this, with zeal and knowledge, they have a discernment for what is right, what is from God. They're not enthusiastic for just anything done in the name of God. They're enthusiastic for what they know is right because they have a knowledge of God. But when they know it is right, they are fervent about their Lord and His Word. When we see a man like Apollos, we would never say, oh, he's pretty lukewarm. They are on fire for God. And because of that, they are of great use to the Lord. Brethren, friends, where do you fit? We are somewhere in this spectrum. So which one describes you? If you have no zeal and no knowledge, you need to wake up to the reality that you will soon die outside of Christ. And whatever it is you are so excited and passionate about in this life, it will be gone. And you'll have eternity to think about what you should have done differently. What will you do then? Wake up. If you fit in the second category, some have zeal but no knowledge, don't let that continue. Whatever you need to know, whether it's what you need to do to be saved, or about the church that Jesus built, or information on any Bible topic, we can help you to discover that. We can learn with you. Don't let that be an obstacle between you and heaven. Learn about the Lord. Help us to learn about the Lord so that we too can have zeal and knowledge. But don't let that state continue. And forever abandon the notion that just because you're sincere in what you believe, that that's good enough to get you to heaven. It was not for the Jews. It will not be for anyone who works hard for God against what He says. Don't be lost for all eternity because you're driving 100 miles an hour away from God. Maybe you fit in the third category, and I suspect that many of us do, more than we're comfortable admitting, including myself. If you have knowledge without zeal, it's time to wake up. Who do we think we are anyway? Who do we think we're fooling? that we can somehow sleepwalk through our spiritual life and God will have to accept us because we know what His book says. What is it that is so important to us that we can't focus on the Lord's work? What is it that's so important that's taking all our passion and energy and time? And when we think about it in the big scheme, how is it more important than the Lord? Jesus said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So I urge you, if you fit in this category, as I too often do, choose to be on fire for the Lord. Say to the Lord, as Isaiah did, here am I, send me. Let's stop being lukewarm and return to our first love, and let's do it now. You might fit in this category. Some have zeal and knowledge. I hope you do. And if you do, keep working because the Lord is using you. But let's all of us work to fit into that category. Do you need to make a change in your life this morning about where you fit here in some way to make your life right? We offer you the invitation of the Lord now as we stand and sing to encourage you.